Light by Jerrakeen. Pairing Chris Adam. Rating R. Disclaimer. Not mine. No disrespect or offense intended to anyone. An AU-SGA crossover, which follows Path, but takes place 3 days before that. Chris is the only one let into the temple, because Adam, their priest or shaman or whatever, Chris may have spaced out during the introductions. Finds him soothing. Soothing? Chris asks, dubious. Adam nods with a strange little smile on his face. The bright green feathers in his hair sway with the movement but don't fall down. Chris shrugs at his teammates. This is probably McKay's fault for being so loud all the damn time. McKay's beepy thing has been getting overexcited around the temple all day, flashing bright orange lights that set off an insanely fascinated look on the man's face. But even without all that, Chris finds the building itself very interesting. He is by no means an expert, but it's obviously not typical ancient design. It has no sharp corners or cold blues. It's all generous curves instead, and a pale honey color that sparkles when the sun hits it just right. Adam places a hand on Chris's back and guides him up the endless stairs leading to the entrance, and he walks silently by Chris's side, matching his steps. Chris wonders if he should try to start a conversation, but his lack of diplomatic skills make him pause. He really doesn't want to screw up this mission by insulting the man's hair accessories or something. Inside, Adam takes off his robe, as if he's just arrived home and is getting comfortable. Chris feels his face heat up at what the man is wearing underneath. A see-through tunic and some sort of stretchy pants. They look soft, kind of like yoga pants, but very, very tight around the hips. He makes himself look away, but it's surprisingly difficult to keep his eyes elsewhere. So, Chris says, clearing his throat. Nice temple. Adam looks up from the tall candles he's lighting by the mantel and smiles indulgently. At least he doesn't mind that Chris is an idiot. That's a good sign. Thank you, Adam says. I'm quite fond of it. Chris can see why. It's a comfortable space. There are pillows and benches scattered about the large chamber, and the afternoon sun is seeping through the high windows, giving the whole place a warm glow. Actually, now that Chris is taking it all in, he realizes that Adam and the temple fit together disturbingly well. From the green and gold makeup around Adam's eyes, to the tattoos on his arms, every little detail about him says he belongs here, as if he was made with the temple, or for it. Or maybe Chris has stayed in the sun too long. Come, Adam tells him, extending a hand. Chris hesitates for a second, not sure if he's supposed to touch him or not, but then goes with his instincts and takes the offered hand. Adam's smile widens, and he tugs Chris towards the center of the room. This is the temple of Kaira, Adam says. The name sounds familiar. Kinda. Chris winces, realizing that Adam probably knows he didn't listen the first time around, and is repeating what he already told the others. Adam continues, gesturing for Chris to kneel with him in front of a slab of stone. Kaira was the first of our people. She was special. Different. And when she went in search of a place to call her own, she found this land. The land embraced her, took her in, and took care of her. And in turn, Kaira took care of the land. Adam trails a couple of fingers along the side of the stone, letting his nails catch on the veins and the imperfections. Chris's eyes follow their movement, entranced by the deep green of Adam's nails. It's the exact same shade as the trees they passed on the way to the city, the tall ones with the wide leaves that smell like lavender. Chris likes lavender. Most of her legacy got lost because of the Wraith. We don't know how she built this temple, or the rest of the city. We don't know what made her special, but we still have this, and I think it's more than enough. He presses his palm to the stone, fingers spread wide, and Chris feels something shift, something he can't name, but it makes him hold his breath and wait, half excited, half scared. And then Adam sighs, lets his head loll back, exposing his long neck, and the whole temple lights up. Chris finds that he can't drag his eyes away from the look of ecstasy on Adam's face, even to check out the weird light pouring out of every crevice of every wall around him. He notes subconsciously that the ZPM should be somewhere in the building to power this light show, but he can't bring himself to look around for it. Adam isn't glowing himself, not literally anyway, but when he opens his eyes, they're an even more brilliant blue than they were before, and Chris feels like they see right into his soul. Not that he would ever admit that to anyone. It's hard to claim heterosexuality when you deal with aliens every day, who may or may not be humanoid or a gender you're familiar with. But Chris has honestly never been tempted by a guy before. There's something about Adam, something beyond a pretty face and an attractive body, something that taunts Chris and calls to him and makes him want to touch. It's almost a compulsion, and Chris wonders for a moment if maybe the light is doing something to his brain. It's not like that hasn't happened to an SG team before. He thinks maybe he should leave, get out of the temple and get some air. But then Adam's hand touches his, and he laces their fingers on the stone, and Chris can't think anymore. He just feels. All of a sudden, his world turns upside down, and he tumbles through a rabbit hole. He feels Adam, his heartbeat, his blood running through his veins. And then he feels the wind outside, running through the leaves. Then he's sinking into the ground, and he feels the earth, deeper and deeper, until it goes from warm to hot to scorching. And then suddenly he's opening his eyes, back at the temple, and Adam's face is just there, looking fascinated and elated. "You can feel it," Adam says with a breathy voice. Chris leans in to kiss him. Chris lets Adam roll him onto his back and climb on top, which is not a wise thing to do in potential enemy territory, but it's nothing compared to his current state of undress anyway, and the fact that he has no idea where his weapon has ended up. He remembers hearing it clatter when he took off his vest, but he'd been too busy licking the freckles on Adam's neck to pay any mind to it at the time. Adam's mouth tastes of the grapes they had for lunch, and it's warm and wet and hungry, sucking on Chris's lips until they sting. His hands are large and strong, but reverent. He's careful when he touches Chris, always unnecessarily gentle, but he's also insatiable and won't stop touching him even to allow him to get out of his pants. Adam doesn't have sex like anyone else, Chris finds himself thinking, which is a very stupid and nonsensical thought, but it's all his muddled brain can come up with on such short notice. It's the intention. It feels like Adam doesn't get what sex is all about, like he doesn't care if they get off or not, like maybe he doesn't even know what an orgasm is. He's touching Chris as if touching is the goal and not the means, moaning into every kiss like he's caught off guard by the feeling. Chris can't feel the blood in Adam's veins anymore, but he's inexplicably attuned to Adam's body. He can tell what feels good to Adam, and what feels new, and what makes him feel like his body is catching on fire. Chris has had long-term relationships before, where you learn the other person's responses and reactions, but it's never been this literal, and certainly not with someone he's touching for the first time. And what's even more unusual is, everywhere he runs his hands over Adam's skin, he leaves a trail of golden dust behind. Chris licks a strip up the trail on Adam's arm, but tastes only Adam's sweat, and when he pulls back to check, there's nothing there anymore. It must be a trick of the light surrounding them, which started throbbing at some point and is now in sync with Chris's heartbeat. Chris has never taken any drugs, nothing stronger than weed anyway, but he thinks this must be what it feels like. It's like free falling, and he doesn't care where he lands as long as he gets to hold onto Adam along the way. Propped up by his elbows resting on either side of Chris, Adam gives him a series of lingering, unhurried kisses, and then he pulls back and smiles, his lips red and shiny. "Chris," he says, as if testing the name, trying it out, and Chris realizes that this is the first time he's heard him say it. "Yes." Adam laughs softly, overjoyed. "How did I not?" Adam shakes his head, but ducks down before Chris can ask, "Not what?" and nuzzles down Chris's neck. Adam takes his time mapping Chris's neck and his collarbone, and then he rests his chin on Chris's chest and brings their entwined hands to his lips. He plays with Chris's fingers, lightly scratching the calluses, kissing the back of his hand. "I know you," Adam says with a sigh. Chris doesn't answer, because Adam is obviously talking to himself, and also possibly crazy. Chris's own sanity is very much suspect at the moment as well, though, so they make the perfect couple. He reaches between their bodies with his free hand, and presses the flat of his palm against Adam's abdomen, running it down slowly, deliberately. Adam's breath hitches, and his mouth goes slack, eyes losing focus. He moans into Chris's neck, sounding almost like he's hurt, and it makes Chris hold him tighter and move faster. When Adam finally lets loose and comes, he laughs into a long groan, and Chris thinks it sounds a bit like a hymn, which is fitting, considering. That night, when Chris is alone with his teammates, he tries to banish that sound from his ears. He focuses on getting his boots off and tries not to think about the way Adam had traced the lines of his face with unsteady fingers and mumbled, "I know you." "It's in the temple, though I couldn't tell exactly where," he tells Lorne, swallowing down the bile rising in his throat. From behind him, he hears McKay's voice saying, "I knew it!" "I don't think they will trade for it." Lorne shakes his head, looking unhappy but resolute. Chris knows what that means. "Well, keep digging," Lorne says. Chris nods. "Yes, sir." The End of Light by Jerakeen, read by Diane McKay.